So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Listen, I am not one of these royal watchers. I have never understood America's fascination with the royal family, and I can't keep one of them straight. I don't even know what the difference between England and Great Britain is, so I'm the worst one to talk about this. And yet, you got to admit that that Crown TV series is great television, right? And it happens to be about the royal family. And the acting and the scenes are so rich, and the script is so good. And it's some pretty amazing storytelling if it's all true. Earlier in the week, I was fact-checking for you some of the little tidbits in The Crown, and turns out the things that we were discovering were true as told in the Netflix series. And then some of you said, hey, spoiler alert. And I'm not sure that you get to call spoiler alert on The Crown when they're talking about Princess Di. I think we know what happened. And I think we know enough about their relationship that you can talk about the series as it portrays it without getting a flag thrown on the field. But if that's going to be a problem for you, then maybe you'll come back in 15 minutes, because I want to spend a little time with Hannah Stanley, the royal watcher and the co-host of a podcast that talks about this. It's called The Hannah and Fred Show. You heard her a lot on this little radio station of ours. Hannah, welcome back. How are you? Hold on a second, Hannah. If I'm going to hit the button. There you are, Hannah. Welcome back.
Thank you, King John. Always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Don't say King John. A, I don't want to be king, and B, I do not want to be in that family. I do not want to be in that family.
There are many, many different kingdoms you can be king of. You are king of WGN land right now.
Yeah, middays from 9 to noon.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so the story is pretty much telling us what it is like now in the era of Princess Di and Charles. And we know that they were mismatched, essentially. Although the way they tell the story, Hannah, he was really smitten with her. And at least at the beginning, it really was a fairy tale, right?
Yes and no. I mean, he was in fact smitten with her. Who wouldn't have been? She was lovely. But he was smitten with many people, but he was fully, fully in love with Camilla, and always had been, and was actually really upfront about that.
Upset about that? Why? Because he couldn't marry her?
Yes. She was deemed not suitable for marriage, suitable for the crown, for whatever reason. And so, there were other women who fit the bill better, and Diana was the one who was officially the chosen one at the tender age of 19.
Yeah, that was pointed out, that the difference, he was in his mid-30s and she's 19, which made him, and by the way, Camilla was ineligible because she was also married, right?
Yes, but at the point where he started dating her and fell in love with her, she was not spoken for. It was determined that she would not be a suitable match, and he moved on.
So then he falls for her and she falls for him. They present her at the beginning as, however lovely, also kind of dowdy, right? She dressed like a person not of great means. She wasn't the fashion plate that we would know her to be.
She was not the fashion plate, and while she moved in the correct social circles, she just wasn't seen to be somebody who was would have captured the imagination and the likes of the public.
Well, she was immature. I mean, for 19, maybe she was certainly a mature 19-year-old. But who among us is ready to step into being a princess?
Yes, Diana. Yes, I was confused. Yes, Diana was 19, was very painfully shy, but then also, like, they felt that she was very moldable at 19, and so she moved into Buckingham Palace, essentially went through princess school, and I remember reading a journal entry that she couldn't understand why she couldn't open the drapes over a certain point, and the shades, and it was so that Buckingham Palace appeared a certain way from the exterior, but the rules were very structured.
Charles was also portrayed in The Crown as extremely needy. I thought him to be, well, I'm not exactly sure how to describe him, but I did not realize he was that pathetic that way.
You know what? I believe in what I have learned. I find it to be incredibly accurate, the Crown. And it behooves them to be for lawsuit reasons. But yes, they were, you know, raised by nannies. While I do think Queen Elizabeth is delightful, the structure was very different than we probably are used to here. And while he was absolutely always known to be the future king, he was absolutely not the favorite child.
Which his father pointed out a lot. I was always uncomfortable whenever the four kids or any combination of them were together with, say, their father, because he would say things that I thought were beyond inappropriate and maybe hurtful. I always thought Charles to be a little bit of a victim of his birth, and it didn't suit him well. But later in life, he seemed to be kind of a bore and was certainly unkind or ununderstanding to Princess Di. That's my read on it. Again, I've watched the TV series. I want to ask you more questions, though, about the Queen, her sister, and other players in this story. Hannah, stay right there. Her podcast is about the royalty, and it's called The Hannah and Fred Show. It's 11:15 on WGN. Netflix series The Crown is caught up to Princess Di and Charles, and we're talking to Hannah Stanley a little bit about that. She watches royalty and does a podcast about it, too. Hannah, so we were just talking about Prince Charles and what kind of a person he was. So what's your take on that?
I've never been a fan, to be quite honest. You were saying that you felt that he was kind of a victim of his birth order. I think that he took full advantage of his birth order. And people have, you know, described him as incredibly charming and downright funny in his own right. But to me, I just never felt that he was as, I don't know. I found that he was not kind at all to his wife. And, you know, the Martin Bashir interview that we've probably all seen, even you, John, where she describes her marriage as being a bit crowded, never left a good taste in my mouth.
Well, do you think that her aunt, I'm trying to remember who all was in the room, maybe her mother, too, his mother and his aunt, almost tried to intervene. They knew that this was a bad wedding, a bad marriage, and they said, you must not marry her. Did something like that happen?
That is what I believe to have happened. There are reports that she, you know, was not going to attend even as soon as the evening before the wedding, where she was like, I'm done, I'm out. But then again, this is, you know, she was able to do a tremendous amount of good in the world because of this marriage, however unhappy it might have been.
Was he jealous of her fame?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he was to be the star, and as you described him, even as a young child, very needy. He did not want to have to compete with his wife at all, and he very much did. Well, what was the Frank Sinatra quote, that he was Nancy's father? A little bit of a different situation, but very similar.
You know, when I said he's a victim of his birth, I didn't mean order. I mean, literally, I don't think it would be easy to be born into that family. Given
sure not. And I think that that's been where this current generation, William and Harry, have been able to bond together and sort of carve out a more modern take on the firm, if you will.
Well, so about that, I am I have much less affection for the Queen in this season than in the past, because her inability to nurture or help or even be human to her children is spectacular.
That all changed upon Diana's death, to whatever degree it is now. And I feel that she is a very doting grandmother now. And it really, there were days and days after Diana's death that she did not respond. She made no commentary. And then all of a sudden she realized she had to soften to keep her country together and help lead them, and also her grandsons, who are now without a mother, who they very much adored. Much changed when Diana passed.
When Diana and Charles went to Australia and came back, they had good times and bad times down there, but she came back and wanted to try and get a better read on the Queen's son, her husband, and so she sat down in her room where she would take visitors, and the Queen visited with her, and then at the end of this dramatic scene in the series, Diana hugs her, and she says, "This is what I need." She needed some human touch and compassion, and the Queen could not pick her arms up to embrace her. It just was not in her arsenal.
No, that's not how she was raised. That was not how it was done. You know, she was raised by nannies, and for a very long time in her childhood, she and Margaret were, of course, in Windsor, while her parents, you know, the king and queen, were in London at the palace, kind of defending it because of the war. So they were absolutely raised by nannies. While they did have that sibling relationship, they were never coddled by their parents. Never.
One of our listeners has texted in to ask, did Diana have an eating disorder? They certainly portray that in the show. That's generally understood. They also...
It's generally, and Diana admitted to that to some degree.
And the way the story is told on the Netflix series, The Crown, is that she developed it during her life with Charles, that she did not come into that marriage with that.
Absolutely. I mean, her body styling changed, but or like her frame, so you could see where almost it developed at what point, and that I think would indicate kind of the downfall or the moment she felt where she had no control.
You also get the feeling that every one of them is trapped by, and this is no great revelation, right? I mean, but they all do seem to be trapped by the fact of who they are and the function, such as it is, that they serve. When the series explores the fact that they had two mentally challenged siblings that were being kept in a hospital, and that knowledge was not common knowledge among the family members, you think, oh my gosh, people, this is your family, and yet they thought it would diminish their stature in their country.
Yeah, they did, but that was not uncommon for the time. If we think the Kennedys did the exact same thing, and that was a very similar and yet different family structure, but it indicated probably some weakness at that point in time in history. But it's also what was done. Families that could afford it put their family members who either had mental disabilities or cognitive disabilities, they were put into a facility or a home.
Well, it was a missed opportunity to lead then. They could have broken the mold, but that's the thing about the fact that Charles had to marry Diana because they were at that point and we couldn't reverse course, or that we couldn't have meant that there's a history of mental illness in the family or whatever else their human failings were. They never rose to the occasion, I didn't think.
Well, it wasn't even something that they necessarily saw as an opportunity. It was something to be at that point embarrassed by, or something that you know, kept faith by providing those members of family with the greatest care money can buy, and keeping it out of the public eye.
Fascinating, too, in this season's episode of The Crown is the portrayal of the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret.
And two aspects about that are fascinating to me. One is the relationship she has with her husband, who is portrayed as an utter dolt and, you know, is a helpful companion to her, but is incurious and uninteresting. And then her relationship with the Queen. What do you know about or think about the Prime Minister in this case?
Well, I think we're seeing many different dolts this season, aren't we? And that, again, was, I think, in what Margaret Thatcher accomplished I don't know. I think that he was very suited for her because she was very career-oriented. And her relationship with the Queen was very interesting because they each had their place. And while Margaret Thatcher was trying to modernize some things within Parliament and within Great Britain, and by the way, England is England and Great Britain is all of the countries.
Thank you.
She rules over. You're welcome. So she was trying to kind of bring that to a new modern and have relationship with different countries, etc. And the Queen, of course, as we've discussed, very old school, very this is how we've always done it. So it was interesting as a modern career woman. You know, you think of the Queen and what she's done, and that has been her career, but it really hasn't necessarily been looked at as being a career woman.
It's really interesting, the storyline of the rift between the two about what to do in South Africa and should they issue mm-hmm. sanctions and how those were negotiated, and the women mm-hmm. were on different sides, and it looks like it looks like the Queen was right about that. She was for sanctions and Margaret Thatcher was not.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because the Queen's offspring, primarily, well, not necessarily offspring, but Diana and the boys have become very in love with Africa and have spent so much of their time there. And William proposed to Catherine in Africa. Mm. So this was a continent that they very much loved.
Hey, John Williams, I'm sorry, but Diana was not kind to Charles as well. Charles was forced to marry her. She also cheated. Charles is an interesting yep. person. Loves the arts, the music, the environment. So glad he is finally happy. I am, too. I am, too, about that. You're giving him a bad rap. Maybe I am. Thank you for the text, and thank you for your time, Hannah. Maybe we'll catch up a little later on in the run of this thing for people, okay?
That sounds delightful. Thanks so much for having me, John.
She does a podcast about royal watching, the Hannah and Fred Show.